This is Golf Talk Canada, Canada's only nationally syndicated golf talk radio and television program. Presented by Acura, proud presenting sponsor of major golf broadcasts in Canada. Visit Acura.ca for the all-new 2016 lineup and latest dealer incentives. Here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Good morning, 8:02 in Toronto. Bob Weeks in the control studio and joined down in the BMW Championship by Mark Sacchino. And Mark, good morning to you.
Robert, good morning. I am currently looking out the window at more pouring rain. It seems to be a theme in my life this year.
Yeah, a little like one of those cartoon characters with the cloud that just follows you around.
It is unbelievable. Here we go again. And I don't know. I don't know how much golf we're going to get. You know, depends on what forecast. I'm hopeful. Some forecasts suggest that we'll be golfing around 12 o'clock today. And others suggest we got to wait till 4
so
before
it's
there's
so,
any golf.
So Carmel, Indiana is not looking too bright right now then?
No, it's not looking so bright. The good news is it looks beautiful tomorrow. And as you know, there's only 69 guys in this field. So worst case scenario, if they have to play catch up tomorrow, it's not a problem with 69 guys.
That's right. That's right. It's good. It's we're down, getting down to the short strokes. There's just 2 weeks left. We're going to talk about that today on the show. Also, we're going to hear from Mackenzie Hughes, the latest Canadian to make it to the PGA Tour. We'll have a chat with him a little later on. We've got Winners Weird and What going on. We have a lot of stuff to get through, though. It's certainly getting down to the short strokes in a number of ways for the FedEx Cup playoffs, for the U.S. Ryder Cup team picks, the Mackenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada is just in its second last week, the penultimate week for the five. Boy, there's all sorts of stuff coming to a close at the season, although it just seems like the season keeps going on and on and on. But why don't we get right away to news and headlines. Or maybe not. We'll have a little drum roll instead. How's that?
What is that?
We wanted to bring you in. It was a very special moment for you. So just wanted to try and see if we could get you in with the news and headlines. But why don't we just go directly and do it? Listen, it is a interesting leaderboard at the top because you have basically two guys tied. One who is the longest hitter on the PGA Tour. And one who is one of the shortest PGA hitters out there. Dustin Johnson shoots a course record 63 at Crooked Stick yesterday. Roberto Castro, a couple of 65s. They share the lead at 14 under. Your thoughts on those two guys?
Yeah, Bob, and the other thing as well is, you know, we've seen a ton of rain this week, so the course is playing longer than normal on top of it, which is kind of even widening the gap between Castro and Johnson, when, you know, considering you know, what you outlined there in terms of their driving statistics. So if you're longer, it's certainly even more of an advantage when it's as wet as it's been out here at Crooked Stick. But at the end of the day, it's funny because it's putting that's getting it done for both of them. You know, Castro putts so well so far in this tournament, and DJ has a new putter in his bag. He took his brother's TaylorMade Spider and basically took it out of his brother's bag. I need to look at something different. He just needed to look at something different. I don't think from a technical standpoint he's done anything really different with his putting or changed much. He just having a hard time lining the old one up, just losing some confidence, threw the spider in the bag, and all of a sudden just, you know, something triggered in the old brain in the 6 inches between the ears, and just the hole started opening up, and he's pouring them in. And that was very impressive yesterday. But like you mentioned off the top, I got to tell you, everybody, the look on their face around here, and, you know, the playoffs are great. I love the playoffs. But this season, for some reason, more than likely, obviously, the Olympics and not just the Olympics and the week that it was, Bob, but what it did to the rest of the schedule, the condensing of everything. These guys look exhausted. Everybody here looks like, I can't believe this isn't over yet. That's the look on everybody's face. And, you know, and there's some big names falling in the wrong direction because of it.
Yeah, the FedEx Cup fatigue, I think you could call it. It really is starting to drag. And as you said, not just that week, but the compressed schedule, you know, major after major, it seems like a lot of guys kind of running on fumes a little bit. And there's, and you know, for some of these guys, it's not over because you're going to go right into the Ryder Cup as well after that. But yeah, that putter that DJ pulled out. So I gather after he looked at the one that that his brother had, he got TaylorMade to send him one. He used it for four holes and at the end of a practice round. Apparently this week, that was all he used before he brought it into full speed. So that's kind of a nice way to go. But you know how those putters work, right? As soon as you buy it, it's not going to work.
Well, yeah, in his case, you can't take the label off.
Exactly.
Once the label comes off. But so it's actually a copy of his brother's then.
Yes, from what I understand, okay, that's so what he had one shipped in. So that's the one that's in the bag now. Was the one he started with.
Okay, yeah, okay, a little confusing because we were told that he took his brother. So, okay, so he's given the one to his brother back.
I guess so, yeah. Whatever it is, he's got the spider in the bag, and it's working like a charm, I'll tell you. He said his irons aren't quite crisp enough yet. Well, if he shoots 63 with mediocre irons, I think that's pretty good. We're going to deal a little bit more with the B&W a little bit later in the show, but let's talk about the big news. I kind of avoided saying it. This is the big news that came out of the week and just exploded, and I know around here it was big news. We were doing lots of coverage of it. I'm sure it was everything going on down there. Tiger is looking like he's going to come back, right?
Yeah. I'm surprised, Bob. I don't know how you feel. I thought, you know, both of us kind of casually circled his World Challenge event that happens at the end of the year in December as a potential time where both of us thought we might see him. And if it wasn't there, I was looking towards Torrey Pines, which is the end of January, beginning of February. And again, this is the if we're going to see him. And I think, you know, I think you were kind of leaning the same way.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of this other than some people are saying, you know, he's just dying to get back. He's chomping at the bit. Others are saying he has sponsors requirements. You know, he was part of that original seven or eight guys that were circled in that Turkish Airlines Open. And when they took that invite, it came with some other stipulations and some other responsibilities that they needed to handle in their scheduling, and that this has something to do with that. I don't know. I think he's going to play the first event of the year personally, because I think he wants to test his back, Bob. I want to see Tiger Woods play four rounds of golf and walk away. I don't care what he shoots. I want to see him play four rounds of golf, make the cut, keep it off the hosel, and go from there. How do you feel?
Yeah, I think there's probably a whole bunch of reasons why he's playing at this. Apparently he had this, he has been thinking about this tournament for some time. I saw Rory has said that he was talking to Mark Steinberg, his agent, and said at the British Open that they had penciled this one in. They do have a contractual obligation to play this. He got a pass. It didn't have to be this year, though. He did get a pass to play in that Turkish Airlines Open under the deal that he would come back and play at what was then the Fries.com, now the Safeway Championship. So he had that. The Turkish Airlines Open, he's going to play, will be the second one. I'm sure he's getting a big fat check for that one. And then he's got his own tournament. So I can see how they kind of make sense. They're a month apart, so he can kind of gauge where he is. And, you know, just because he plays the first one doesn't mean he's necessarily going to play the next one, depending on how his back is. There's all sorts of little language in there that says, you know, I might be able to get out of this if my back's not all that great. And from what I'm hearing to a couple of people that I talked to this week, it's Tiger swinging full speed. He's playing rounds, but after the round, he's sore. After he plays two rounds, he's sore. So this is going to be four rounds. Likely the first time he's going to play without a cart, because I'm sure down in Florida he's probably using a cart to get around. So it'll be interesting to see. And also, don't forget the whole thing where he's got to get some equipment in the bag. And you think he might use these tournaments perhaps to test some things out so he has a full set that he likes when he gets going in January.
So what's a success for you, Bob? Is it four healthy rounds of golf? And when I say healthy, I mean I expect him to be sore the rest of his life. Guess what? If I play 18 holes of golf and when I walk, I'm sore, okay? So getting old means getting sore. This is a guy with multiple operations. So for me, if he plays four rounds of golf and walks away, that means he makes a cut, he plays four rounds, he walks away. That's a huge success. What's your standard on this?
Yeah, I agree. I think that as long as he's upright at the end of 72 holes, and he's not, you know, he hasn't hurt himself again, and he's not showing any signs of yips, you know, as long as he's kind of getting it in the hole and even finishes anywhere in the middle of the pack and or better, I think it's a positive sign for Tiger Woods. And I think a lot of it is just that he wants to get up off the couch and get back in there. I mean, he's done this for 20 years. He's done it for his whole life, really, as a complete golfer. So, you know, sitting out for a year, it's got to be gnawing at him after a while, I think.
Yeah, and it brings into conversation, too, you know, because some athletes are very good with retirement and some aren't. And some have a natural progression, a plan of what they're going to do. Some go into, you know, into what we do, you know, they jump into what we do for a living.
Right.
Some go into golf course architecture or have another business lined up or other things that they love that they move into. And they create their own, you know, brand, like what a Greg Norman has done or Arnold Palmer, probably the first to really do it. What's retirement going to be like for Tiger Woods? I don't know. Like, I know he's dabbled in some golf course architecture, but, you know, he's a fairly under the radar guy when it comes to his personal life, especially since what happened from 09 and beyond. What does Tiger look like in retirement? Is it on the couch with a bag of Cheesies playing video games? You know, because that's what I see. That's what I picture happening right now at his house, right?
Maybe he'll take up a hobby, you know, like crocheting or something like that. I'm not sure. We'll see. Listen, let's talk more about Tiger later in the show. There's lots of time to talk about that. We're going to take a break here, and when we come back, we are going to talk to the newest Canadian who will be on the PGA Tour next year, and that is Mackenzie Hughes. There's more Golf Talk Canada coming up after this.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada was brought to you by Acura, proud presenting sponsor of major golf broadcasts in Canada. Visit Acura.ca for the all-new 2016 lineup and latest dealer incentives. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by Horizons Exchange Traded Funds. Innovation is our capital. Make it yours. Visit horizonsetfs.com for more information. Here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
And welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Saturday morning across the country, the GTA, Hamilton listening audiences, the Toronto listening audiences, you're probably going to get some rain, possibility of thunderstorms out in Victoria. Looks like it's going to be a cool day, so hopefully, wherever you are, you get a chance to play a little bit of golf. Bob Weeks here at the head office. Mark Sacchino down in beautiful Carmel, Indiana, where it is also pouring rain. Any updates? Has it stopped yet?
There's you'll love this one, Bob. There's a tornado warning in effect till noon.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, maybe if you see a lady driving around on a bike with a dog in the basket, just maybe duck. Listen, there are a couple of new Canadians going to join the PGA Tour next year. They've made it through on through the web.com tour, which is basically the only way you can get through there these days. There's a little other bare windows, but this is the way most people get now onto the PGA Tour. And Mackenzie Hughes is a great young player, a couple of times as a Canadian amateur champion. He's from Dundas, Ontario. I don't know, Mark, have you seen him play?
Yeah, I've got to see him once up close, and he's a super nice young guy as well as a person. He's a great person. I guess most of the Canadians are. That's kind of redundant in a way. We're like that as people. We don't have that kind of brashness, that ego that maybe some of our friends from other parts of the world tend to carry with them when they get to this kind of level of achievement. But he's a great guy, and yes, I have seen him hit it a few times in person. And I've got big hopes for him, very large hopes, and I'm thinking he's going to be a wonderful addition to that Canadian team next year.
Well, shortly after he was presented with his PGA Tour card for 2016-2017, I had a chance to catch up with him on the phone, and here's my conversation with Mackenzie Hughes.
And joined now by Mackenzie Hughes, the newest Canadian to get onto the PGA Tour. And, Mac, congratulations, first of all. Must be a nice feeling to realize that you've kind of realized your dreams.
Yeah, thanks, Bob. It's a bit surreal still, and, you know, I'm supposed to let it sink in, but, yeah, it's an amazing feeling, a lifelong dream, and I'm so excited to get going next on the PGA Tour.
What was the feeling like when you could get your card in your hand and you realized that now you're gonna step up a level as well?
I really don't know what the feeling. I mean, the feeling was something I've never felt before. I mean, it's hard to describe when you've worked so hard for something like that, and when you have that card in your hand, the realization that you you have accomplished, you know, what you, you know, set out to do for so long. I mean, the feeling, it was so gratifying, and I was so happy in that moment. It's really hard to put into words, but what a special moment, and something I'll always remember.
Ray Stewart, the great Canadian golfer from years gone by, once told me after he moved to the old days, he went to Q School to get to the PGA Tour. He says, "Yeah," he says, "now I'm $100,000 debt." And so his point was that now that you've got your card, is only the first step. Now you got to go out there and play, I guess. And that's a big hurdle to kind of face that you've got now. What do you have sort of in your plans right now to kind of get ready for, which is only really a few weeks away, for the first tour event?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing for me is to not change anything. So for me to prepare for the PGA Tour, I just need to keep working on my game, keep trying to get a bit better. But really, I'm not going to try and change too much. I want to make sure I'm ready to go and feel good physically, and I'm mentally fresh when I get going. So, you know, the next few weeks, I'll make sure I manage my rest and my energy. And also, you know, I'm going to try and learn some things ahead of time and try and pick some guys' brains before I get out there for that first week, and make sure I'm just accustomed to a few things that maybe I might have taken a few weeks to get used to. Maybe I can talk to Nick and talk to Graham and David and just pick up on a few things that might make the first couple of weeks a bit easier out there.
You've still got golf to play on the web tour, though. You've still got some chances to even move up your priority ranking further. How do you approach the next little bit on the web tour, knowing that you do still have already, or you already have your card on the PGA Tour?
Yeah, I think you need to play with a bit of an edge. So you need to kind of play tough and really play hard, because the status that you have for next year really depends on how well you play the next 4 weeks. And I want to have the best status I can possibly have. So, I mean, the goal is to try and finish as high as I can on the finals of my list, and I mean, try and win it. You know, set your goal high, because if you just try and, you know, improve your status a little bit, you know, you might not improve it. But, you know, you really need to go out there and play well, have four good tournaments, and whether you have one really high finish or four, you know, consistent weeks, I mean, that it all helps, you know, towards improving my status.
You have played in PGA Tour events before, and notably the Canadian Open. What is the biggest difference that you've seen in the league of action that you have between web.com tournaments and PGA Tour events?
I think there's just more moving parts. There's more going on, more cameras, more people. It's just slightly the stage. You know, when you go out on Sunday and you're playing in one of those last few groups on web.com, you know, the galleries are nice, but they're nothing like what you experience at a U.S. Open or at a, you know, in the Wells Fargo, and, you know, those kind of crowds. And it gets pretty large on the weekends, and so that's something that I'll have to, you know, adjust to and get used to. But I really think after, you know, a couple of weeks, it won't take too much getting used to, and I'll actually enjoy it. And I really enjoy the amount of people, and so that's where I think too much of an adjustment. But I think mainly the golf course will be a bit different than what I've been playing, but it's a welcome change for me. I'm excited to play on some nice golf courses with, you know, more room to hit drivers and much more my style of game. So I like that part of it. And, yeah, I think just in general, you know, you're going to be around more guys that you watch growing up on TV, which is, you know, as much as you say that won't affect you, it's something you think about, you know, especially when you're first just out there. I remember playing the U.S. Open, and I, you know, I'm hitting the ball next to Tiger Woods, and I'm telling myself, don't look, don't help but look. And so that stuff will fade, obviously, but, you know, I need to do my best to just put my head down and get to work.
You got another big event coming up before the golf season starts again. Notably, you're getting married. I guess that's kind of a double celebration now that you're going to get married and get to the PGA Tour all before the end of the year.
It's funny because earlier in the year, I thought how great it would be if I was celebrating my wedding day and had my PGA Tour card in my hands. And, you know, I let myself dream of that scenario. And funny enough, we're here today, and I'm getting married in 2 months, and I'm going to be, you know, PGA Tour player by that time. And it's really exciting. 2016 is living up to the hype for sure.
That's perfect. Well, congratulations on making it there, and all the best when you get there, and good luck with the wedding. Perfect weather and a perfect day for it, and congratulations all around.
I appreciate it, Bob. I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
And there is Mackenzie Hughes. He was talking from the locker room at one of the events he was at, so there's a little background chatter in there. And Mark, the other guy who's made it through, of course, is Brad Fritsch. And very quickly, some quick thoughts on him.
Yeah, you know, obviously a return for Brad, right? So a different time in his life going back to the PGA Tour. And I think it really depends on the personality type, Bob. Mackenzie Hughes saying a lot of the right things for getting to the tour for the first time. And, you know, Brad Fritsch kind of knows what to expect. So, I don't know. I expect kind of good things from both of them next year. I really do. And congratulations to both of them as well.
All right. When we come back after the break, we're going to look at, into the mind of Davis Love III and try and figure out whose names he will call out for his next three picks on the Ryder Cup. We'll prognosticate that when we come back with more of Golf Talk Canada.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Horizons Exchange Traded Funds. Innovation is our capital. Make it yours. Visit horizonsetfs.com for more information. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by TaylorMade, the number one driver on the PGA Tour, 15 years and counting. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to get custom fit today. Here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Saturday morning, Bob Weeks in the head office here in Toronto. Mark Sacchino in Carmel, Indiana, waiting out the tornado watch, the rain, the locusts. Every time I talk to you now, it's getting worse. What's happening now down there?
There's frogs falling from the sky, Bob.
That's perfect. Doesn't look like there's going to be any golf right away anyway down there this morning. A little bit of a wait, I guess, right?
Yeah, you know, they switched the tee times around already to go from to tee off at 11:01 split tees and threesomes. They thought that was their best way to get the window of golf here. I don't see that happening right now. I cannot see this starting at 11. Best case scenario is 12, likely 1 o'clock is what I'm thinking. Maybe split tees with the leaders going off at 3 o'clock and the back of the bus going off at 1. Because the other thing people don't think about is, yes, you know, the rain could stop, but this course has taken a ton of water. They need to get out there. This thing needs to dry up a little before they can get those guys out there. So if the rain stops around 11:30, which it's supposed to be a small window where it shuts down around 11:30, then maybe it dries out. Give it 90 minutes to dry out, get the workers out there, turn the bunkers over, and get the guys on the golf course round one.
Well, lots of time then to sit around and think. And I'm sure for a few people in the field, one of the big, for a lot of people there, but the big topic is going to be, what does Davis Love III do on Monday? He has three selections to make to add to the U.S. Ryder Cup team. He'll have one more after next week, after the Tour Championship. So those three spots, I'm thinking right now that he's probably got six names on a sheet of paper, maybe six names on there, maybe five names that he's going to pick from. And I'm going to put you on the spot first, Mark, and you tell me who you think he'll name. What are the three names he's going to read out on Monday?
Yeah, here's the thing. I hope Davis Love goes a little off the board, Bob, but I don't think he will. And that's going to be a problem. I think that he is begging right now. He was begging for Ricky Fowler and Bubba Watson and Matt Kuchar, for that matter, to show him something over the last couple of weeks and to have this rock-solid playoff so that he could just throw those names on a sheet of paper and you know, no one would judge it. No one's going to complain with those names. But I can't put those names on the team. I certainly can't put Bubba Watson. He hasn't had a top 10 in 6 months. Ricky Fowler just is not closing the deal. Even when he plays well, he backs up when it counts. And I don't know if that's the kind of, you know, guy you want to add to your team right now in Ryder Cup pressure. So I'm going to go, personally, I would go off the board. I would go J.B. Holmes. I think he's playing really well right now. He's played great events well this year. He had a good major season. Mm-hmm. He hits it a mile. as you know. So there's my bomber. I'll take one bomber.
Right.
I'm not going to take Bubba Watson, so I'll take J.B. Holmes instead. And he's playing well again this week. He's showing that he really wants to be a part of this team. He's playing well at the right time. So I'm going to go with J.B. Holmes. And let's not forget, he's only played one Ryder Cup ever before. It was 2008. It happens to be the only time they've won this century.
And he was 2-0-1, I think, in that 2-0-1 in that Ryder Cup, too. I don't think he lost. He was actually pretty good.
So there you go. Now, I know it was a home game for him as well at Valhalla that week, but there's too many signs pointing to J.B. Holmes for me. I'll take one veteran. I know he's listed as a vice captain right now, but I know Jim Furyk's name is still potentially in this. I will take Furyk just because the guys in front of him aren't playing that much better. Like I said, like build me an argument for some of these guys, and it's very hard to. So I'll pass them and go to Furyk. He shot the 58. If he had four more months, he missed 4 months this season because of surgery. So if you give him those 4 months back, Bob, I think he makes his team mathematically anyway. So I'll go with Jim Furyk and the 58 plus his veteran leadership. And then I'm going to go all the way down the board. I think it's like the 20th or 21 spot on the points list to Ryan Moore.
Mm.
Ryan Moore has never been on a Ryder Cup team. He has no hangover to what's happened over the last few years. He doesn't remember what happened at Medina. He has no baggage. He would be so excited to be a part of this team, to add a newbie to the team and someone who won just a few weeks back at the John Deere Classic. And it's played pretty well in the late stretch. Those would be my three names. And then I would cross everything on my body for some American player who isn't on my team to do something special at East Lake and walk away with the FedEx Cup so I could just have one last slam dunk pick, because I don't know who that person is right now.
Yeah, it's, I think J.B. Holmes is a lock. The only thing, you know, that scares me a little bit is he's not a great putter, but he makes up for it in distance. So you can kind of get around that. He's, I think, 127th in strokes gained putting. So that's not necessarily great. Ryan Moore, by the way, is 32nd. I was just looking at him up in strokes gained putting. So he's a real good putter. Not the greatest off the tee, but you can't. It's very few guys have it all. So I like Holmes. I think Holmes is a lock right now. I think Matt Kuchar is going to be on there just because he's a steady guy. He's tied for sixth right now. By the way, J.B. Holmes is tied for fourth. He's played well in the last few weeks. Very consistent. Doesn't miss a lot of cuts. You know, he's kind of one of those guys who's just kind of always around. So I like Kuchar for me. I'm not sold on Furyk yet. I'm just a little bit nervous in terms of the fact that he has only played a half a season. He's still a link to the past. So I'm sort of torn between going with Ricky, although, you know, like right now, Ricky is this week. He might not even make it to the Tour Championship if he doesn't put two good rounds together. I mean, he's down in tied for 63rd, and I think if he finishes in like the last two or three spots, he's actually outside the 30. He's actually projected right now at 30. So he's got to pick up his socks on the weekend. The guy who kind of jumps out for me a little bit is Daniel Berger. I kind of think he's had a sneaky good season. He's tied for 10th this week. He's a good putter, 46 strokes gained putting. So, I mean, if I was making the pick, he might be the guy that I pop onto the list. But I can see how Davis Love may end up going with Ricky Fowler, just because I think that he's got a lot of emotion in his game. He's got a lot of sort of rah-rah stuff that the team might need. But I don't know. At what point do you say, okay, I think I've had enough of the old guys, of the guys who have kind of been there and not done it for so many years, and bring in some fresh blood? That to me is the question that Davis Love has to ask. And I know that the PGA has done a lot of work with analytics. I was at a dinner during the PGA Championship, and I was sitting beside Pete Bevacqua, who's the CEO of the PGA, and he was talking some crazy stories about all the analytics they had on these guys, who would work well with whom, and what kind of guy would play well on what kind of golf course. And Hazeltine is going to be a big, long golf course. It's gonna demand some length off the tee and some big hitters, so that may play into it as well. But where do you take that analytics, and where do you take the relationships that the guys have with each other? Because the other thing I've heard Davis Love say is that, look, I'm going to go to the eight guys who were there and say, who do you want on this team? It's their team, so they've got to perform. So I think it's going to be really interesting. I think there's going to be a surprise name that comes out, whether it's Ryan Moore, whether it's Daniel Berger on Monday.
Well, I agree with you 100% on Daniel Berger. He was my fourth guy if I were to spit out one more name. definitely 100%, won earlier this year. Daniel Berger would have been there. I think you need new blood, different names. I'll consider J.B. Holmes new blood, different names. He's only played the one.
Yep.
Successful. Ryan Moore would be a surprise. I hope you're 1,000% right, but I think we're both going to be disappointed, Bob. I really do. I think this is going to be the same old, same old. I think they're going to lean on the fact that it's going to be a big ballpark so that they can go. And Matt Kuchar could have a very strong last 36 holes and make a good case for himself, or it could go the other way, you know, and he could fade away and again, not really show us much. But I think it's going to go Bubba Watson, Matt Kuchar, Jim Furyk, or Ricky Fowler. I really do. I think those are the names. I think they're going to say it's a big ballpark. We need long hitters, Bubba Watson. We need veteran and steadiness, and we're going to give Jim Furyk and Matt Kuchar. And I think they want Ricky Fowler on this team because he's so well liked in the dressing room, and he is part of that face of American golf, whether he deserves to be or not, based on his record. He is one of the young guns in American golf. So I just think it's going to go that way. I've got a horrible feeling that we're not going to get the surprise, one or two surprises that I think the team needs. And I think that maybe some deserving guys, like, I hope you're right with the J.B. Holmes being a lock, because I think if they pass him up, that might be the biggest crime that could potentially happen here, is if you pass Holmes. If any of the other guys that we've outlined, I think you can make an argument for passing or taking. It's such a gray area. No one's really standing out. No one's really a complete no-no. But J.B. Holmes, I think, would be the only exception to that rule. I don't know how you could, at the moment, not put him on this team.
Do you think with all this, all this thinking they've got, all these task forces and things like that, do you think sometimes the Americans just overthink it?
100%. And I've also said they treat it too much like going to war. They treat it too much, very similar to the way the NFL approaches, a playoff game. You know, it's coached to death, and it feels like there's sergeants and commanders and there's soldiers, and it feels that way. And I think it's the wrong approach. The only time they've ever won in this century was under Paul Azinger, and he just put that pod system in place where he just created little teams of camaraderie. He had guys like Boo Weekly on that team, for lack of a better term, a class clown, riding his driver like he was riding a horse down the fairways at Valhalla. They had some, loose and different personalities on that team, and, they got it done. And that's why I thought last week when you said they should add Beef Johnson to the European team, you said that over the last couple of weeks. I thought it was a brilliant comment you made, and I know it sounded funny, but hold on a sec. This guy can play. He's had a great year. You would turn some fans on U.S. soil cheering for him. No one's going to boo against Beef. Talk about a positive energy around the team, just somebody that would be so happy and shocked to be there. And I think the Americans need to look for that. If you go down from one right through, who is that guy? Who's the loosey-goosey fun guy on the American team? I can't find one. Jordan Spieth, as intense as they get. Patrick Reed, more intense. We all know what Phil's history with this event is and that generation of American golfer. Where's the guy to lighten up this dressing room? I don't see him, and I think it's a problem.
Could be Matt Kuchar if he picks him. That might be one advantage to having. He's actually quite a funny guy. I know he doesn't look like that on TV, but and he's also probably the best table tennis player, which is a big part of their team room. He was telling me a story. I had dinner with him about a year ago, and he was telling me a story how the last Ryder Cup, Phil actually hired a coach, a guy to come in and teach him how to play better table tennis just for the Ryder Cup, because in the dressing room, of course, they have all these competitions. And so he had this guy, he taught him this crazy serve. And Matt Kuchar is an amazing athlete. He's a great tennis player. In fact, he and his wife won the tennis, I think it's called the Husband and Wife Tennis Championship in the United States. Big, big competition. So he figured it out, and he handled them pretty easily. He was actually holding court against some of the U.S. table tennis guys at the Olympics, apparently, in the Olympic Village. So anyway, he may be the guy. Well, we'll find out Monday. It's going to be interesting for sure. I don't think there'll be, I think no matter which way he goes, there'll be some surprise, there'll be some talk, there'll be some contention about whether or not he made the right picks. But it's going to be, it's certainly going to be interesting to figure out exactly what he does and his rationale behind it. When we come back, we are going to go back down to Carmel, Indiana with you, Mark. We're going to take a little more in-depth look at what's going on with the BMW Championship. Who's in? Who's going to make it to the Tour Championship? We'll look at that with more of Golf Talk Canada after this.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by TaylorMade, the number one driver on the PGA Tour, 15 years and counting. Visit TaylorMadeGolf.ca to get custom fit today. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit floor liners, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit WeatherTech.ca. Here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Saturday, golf day, weekend. Hopefully you guys, listeners, are out there playing a little bit of golf. They are not playing golf right now down in Indiana at the BMW Championship because it's pouring rain, and I'm blaming Mark Sacchino for it. Everywhere you go, it rains.
It's true, Bob. It is true.
Listen, they have played a couple of rounds. They got 36 in the books, and it's, as we were saying off the top, it's a pretty interesting leaderboard. Roberto Castro, Dustin Johnson at 14 under, Paul Casey at 11, three shots back, J.B. Holmes, Chris Kirk at 10. And then you got a group at 7 that includes Ryan Palmer, Matt Kuchar, Kevin Na, and Sergio, your doppelganger, Mark Sacchino. Give me your thoughts overall on this leaderboard. What do you think of it?
It's going to be interesting to see. You know, Paul Casey is a guy that jumps out at me right now. He's played so well over the last few weeks, Bob. I think he's due a victory. I really do. Now, it's going to be tough. He's got some, you know, great players in and around him there, especially, obviously, Dustin Johnson's name would hover the biggest. And I think we've got, you and I, we've got some interesting stories going on here in the world of golf, because if Dustin Johnson wins this, now we've got to really now wonder who the player of the year is, because right now I'm still leading Jason Day with his three wins and one of them being the Players Championship. If it wasn't the Players Championship and one of Jason Day's three victories, you know, I might still lean Dustin Johnson because they have similar top tens. Dustin's got the major and the additional victory, so he's one win behind. But if Dustin Johnson all of a sudden adds a playoff win to the fact that he's got a U.S. Open and another victory, is he the player of the year? I don't know. So maybe that's something to watch for. Also, again, like you mentioned in the previous segment, right now, Ricky Fowler holding on for dear life, projected at 30 right now. If it were to end, he gets the last spot at East Lake. If he moves one notch down the leaderboard, one notch, he's out. And Davis Love III basically throws up all over himself when that happens. So there is lots to watch here for the last three.
Jordan Day, as he was introduced at the first tee, I like that this week. He was he's just kind of middle of the pack there. He threw a 67 up on the board yesterday, so he's not done either. But at the top of the board, one of the interesting names is Roberto Castro. As I mentioned off the top, he is one of the shortest hitters on the PGA Tour, 156 in driving distance, and yet somehow on a wet long golf course there, a crooked stick, he is getting it done. Let's hear from Roberto Castro.
No doubt. It was a good start to the tournament. You know, they don't give any trophies out after 36 holes, so there's a lot of golf left, but very pleased with that.
You made a couple of long ones on the front nine today. Does that free you up? Because you started hitting it pretty close there on the back. When you get a couple of big ones to go like that early, does it just sort of free that round up for another good score?
Yeah, it's really tough on a, you know, on a big boy golf course to shoot low numbers without making a couple here or there. So mine came early in the round. And then I got some good looks on the back.
You enter this week, you know what you have to do. It has to be a pretty high finish for you to play next week. But with no cut, does it free you up at all this week to just come out here and kind of let loose?
Yeah, I mean, the whole playoffs, really. You know, there's really only upside unless you start in number one, you know, the number one spot. Yeah. So it's a ton of upside for us. It's a really exciting format. You've seen Sean O'Hare jump up. It's great. So it's just another week where there's a lot to be won.
You got out to a good start yesterday before the rain. You've played well after the rain. You just must like this golf course no matter what the conditions are. What is it about Crooked Stick that sits you out?
Yeah, I like it a lot. I think it's tough enough that it really keeps your focus, but, you know, there's birdie opportunities, so it's a good combination.
And there's Roberto Castro. You were mentioning Mark Sacchino, Paul Casey off the top. I want to get to his audio right away. He is a guy, surprisingly to me, who has only got one PGA Tour victory. He's won a number of times in Europe, but only one. Looking for that second one. Let's hear from Paul Casey.
Thank you. It's been a long day. Not as young as I used to be. Yeah, really good. I mean, look how good the scoring is. Yeah. Castro, Holmes, I mean, I've lost track. I haven't actually looked at the scoreboard in the last few holes. It's just trying to conserve energy and take care of my own business, and really happy with that today. Long day, but really happy.
Driving the ball well, and in these wet conditions, the fairways obviously get a little bit wider, but how important still is it out here to get it in the fairway?
Very. You know, this course is, it's all about the, I feel like it's all about the ball striking, because you've got to hit a lot of fairways in order to hit a lot of greens in regulation, and the greens are pretty severe. If you can put it the right side of the flag, it makes your week really, really easy, or easier. So I've done so far a really good job of that, and I'd like to continue over the weekend.
More rain forecast for tonight. This place is going to get a little bit wetter, it looks like. How do you attack it this weekend?
I'll tell you tomorrow. I got no idea. Get some sleep first. I don't know, nothing wrong with what I've been doing so far, so the game plan's pretty solid. You know, if we got to tweak it slightly because of the, if it gets really wet, maybe some lines change off the tees, but as you've just said, it makes it wider. Maybe it'll play wider still.
You mentioned the fatigue. This is a long stretch of golf. How do you manage it at this juncture?
Put it this way, there's nothing you can do right now. You either got the fitness or you don't. The key is to get rest at night. That's the big thing. You know, I've done a really good job of staying hydrated out there and eating the right things. So from that standpoint, you know, got the right fuel going into the body. Rely on the fitness I built up, you know, over the off season and all these years, which I feel pretty good about.
There's Paul Casey at the BMW Championship. We have to say goodbye to our national audience, Mark. We'll do that right now, and hope everyone has a great week of golf. Of course, Golf Talk Canada television this week as well on Wednesday on the TSN network. We'll be back after this for the local audience. Toronto, Hamilton, you got 30 more minutes of Golf Talk Canada. And coming up after the break, it's Winners, Weird, and What. We will talk to the national audience 1 week from today on Golf Talk Radio. Golf Talk Canada continues after this.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by WeatherTech Canada, Canada's leader in automotive accessories, including DigiFit Floor Liner, the most advanced concept in floor protection today. Visit weathertech.ca. Thank you to our national audience for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For show archives, blogs, interviews, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca. We'll return after this with more of Golf Talk Canada. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by Frechette Lawn Care, keeping your lawn healthy and green for over 45 years. Visit FrechetteLawnCare.com or call us today for a free analysis and quote. Here are your hosts, Mark Sacchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Bob Weeks in Toronto, Mark Sacchino in Carmel, Indiana, where it is raining. And Mark, I think because you are talking on the radio a lot and it's coming through in here to Toronto and Hamilton now, you're causing rain here too. It's just started raining here. So I'm blaming you again for everything that's going on here.
I love it.
Listen, it's time to do a little Winners, Weird, and What. What do you think?
I love it. Let's do it, Bob.
All right, you have the tee.
All right, my winner this week, Bob, is we're asleep at the wheel there in controls here. I'm waiting for all
sorry.
Our boards
hang
and audio, and I don't know
we're
what's
get,
going
we're
on.
We're going to give you, your, here you go. Listen, hang on a second. Right, we're going to start
again.
Winners, Weird, and What is brought to you by Golf PEI. With over 27 world-class golf courses all located within a 45-minute drive, discover for yourself why PEI is Canada's number one golf destination at golfpei.ca.
How do you like that? That's new.
What is that?
That's new. That's just for you. We did that just for you.
That's
all right, listen. You, do you want the
okay,
truth? You want
it.
The truth? Here we go.
All right, my winner question. This week, Bob.
You want answers? Oh. I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Truth is, other than you and I, Bob, I think everybody else operating the show today, it's their first time out.
We're having some fun here. Don't worry about it. All right, go. Let's go with your winner and your weird and your what.
Okay, my winner, Bob, is Tiger this week for the old college try. You got to love the fact that he's coming back and he wants to play golf. And I think you hit the nail on the head when you said, I think he's sick of sitting around. We don't know what retirement's going to look like for Tiger Woods. I can't see Tiger on the Champions Tour. I don't know about you, but I don't think that's in his future. I don't think he's going to remain a very public persona in the game the way Arnie has. The way Jack has. I see more for Tiger down the Ben Hogan route of things in retirement. So I'm glad he's coming back. I'm glad he's going to give it a go. I hope he's healthy. Let's see what happens. And hopefully we get to see him three times in 2016, like he has potentially laid out for us here in his schedule. My weird is, I don't know if you caught this, and this is a good weird, but in the mix of all of this going on, with him coming back and the stir that it's created, he went with his daughter, Sam, to her third grade elementary class for bring your parent to class day so they could talk to the class about what they do. Did you see that?
I did see this. That's great.
I love this. It's great. And the principal's tweeting out, you know, thank you to Mr. Tiger Woods for spending some time with our grade 3 class today. Tiger was pretty funny about this, too. He was saying, I haven't played golf in so long, I think my kids forget what I do for a living. And they were starting to think that the guy, the pharmacist down the street, sounded more exciting than dad, is what Tiger said.
Very good. Very good.
That's great. My what is also Tiger. I'm going Tiger through the board this week.
Wow.
Winner's weird and what. Yeah, and this is a bit of a scary one for me, Bob, is, you know, what next if this doesn't work out? So how many comebacks are we at now? I've lost count. We're at 3 knee surgeries, 3 back surgeries. This is a 40-year-old guy going on the body of a 65-year-old when you count up these surgeries. Now, he's always been in great shape, but we know how severe he's been in his workouts and how much he pushed the envelope, depending on whose book you read and what you believe. If half of it's true, it's crazy, his training regimen. And what happens, or what if, Bob, this doesn't work out? What if in the second round or third round of the Safeway come a few weeks from now when we kick off the 2017 season. I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm going to hang myself. The thoughts that this is going to start immediately again. But what do we do, Bob, if he's carted off? What if we're right there again?
I think it's like a horse. You just put him out of his misery.
Well, I know. It's just like, I don't want to see that. No one wants to see their great athletes come back. You know, no one wants to see Wayne Gretzky come out of retirement and, you know, ankle burn around the ice, you know. And I don't want this again for Tiger. If Tiger's really going to come back and he's really going to give this the old shot, I really hope that he knows what he's getting into and that we're going to get – I know we're not going to get old Tiger. That's ridiculous. No one could even fathom that. But in 2013, there's a guy that won 5 times.
I'm telling you.
I just want to see a Tiger that is capable of just competing and competing week in and week out healthy on the PGA Tour. I don't want to see any other kind of version, the versions we've seen over the last 12 months. No interest in Tiger off the hosel or limping off a golf course. Time will tell.
I agree with you 100%. And if he doesn't play, it's going to be, I tell you, it's going to be crocheting. That's exactly what he's going to. Okay, I have the tee.
So what do I do? Just aim for the pond?
No, you're not supposed to hit it into the water.
But you hit it into the water.
I know I hit it into the water.
Well, why do they even have water if you're not supposed to hit it there?
Because it's fun! We're having fun!
Look, it went further than your ball.
All right. Mark, my winner, I actually have 2 winners. I have winners this week because 2 important people celebrating their birthdays today. And the first is Brooke Henderson, who is turning 19. Imagine that. She's done so much since she's just now turning 19. And they had a day for her yesterday in Smiths Falls. It was Brooke Henderson Day in Smiths Falls. get this, they closed the schools. They brought all the kids out to a big rally they had, and she was met with all sorts of people. The mayor was there. I mean, it was a huge celebration for the town, and that she has really put that town on the map. It's gone through a little bit of a rough time in the last few years with some businesses closing down there. So nice things happening for the folks in Smiths Falls, and a great way for Brooke Henderson to celebrate her 19th birthday. And she's also, I think, going to jet off to France for the women's last major of the year, the Evan Masters. The other guy celebrating his birthday this week is at the other end of the age spectrum, at least. It's the king, Arnold Palmer, turns 87 today. I love Arnie. Of course, he won his first professional victory here in Canada at my course at Weston Golf and Country Club. There's a statue of him on the first tee there. So happy birthday to Brooke, and happy birthday to the king as well.
And if Brooke wasn't popular enough, Bob, now she's gotten kids out of school. She just went up even huge.
That's right. On a Friday.
How about that?
Long weekend. My weird this week happened, is something that happened in California, and you got to watch where you're playing. We know it's been a dry year. It's been hot and humid, certainly in the central part of Canada, but in the west coast of the U.S., it has been like drought conditions for, like, I think a couple of years now. And so you have to watch where you're swinging your golf club. A golfer swung his club, hit a rock at the Arroyo Trabuco Golf Course in Orange County, caused a spark. The spark lit a fire. It ignited a blaze. They had a 20-acre blaze that firefighters had to come and put out the fire before it actually started to spread because of the sloping topography, actually, apparently, in this where this is. It apparently helped put it out as well. But can you imagine that? You take a swing and you start a ground fire.
That is crazy. And, you know, like, that is, if you really think about it, that is tells you everything you need to know about the drought that they've had out there when it's that sensitive, that just one spark from a rock can cause that kind of damage. That is insane when I read that.
So don't hit the rocks if you're in the dry area conditions. My what this week is, what a circus it's going to be down in at the Safeway Championship when Tiger Woods comes back. See, I had to add a Tiger Woods one to mine as well. But now, to add on that, Phil Mickelson has said he would like to play with Tiger. He's going to play that tournament because it's in his hometown or home area. He says, I think I want to play with Tiger. Can you imagine Phil and Tiger in the same group? If Tiger alone wasn't bad enough, those two together, it would be a madhouse going on at the Safeway Championship in Napa. I can't imagine what would go on with those two in the same group.
Well, I think it's fantastic. I love it. And I know the people at Safeway must be just licking their chops on this, because they went from a golf tournament that nobody cares about to potentially having the eyes of the golf world watching Phil and Tiger. So,
there could be more people there than there are the Ryder Cup.
For sure.
Media-wise.
And you know what? Phil and Tiger have always had an interesting relationship. It's much better now in terms of what it was 10 years ago. I don't think they were the friendliest of two. I think now they've gotten much better over the years, similar to Tiger and Jack. Similar to Ernie and Jack in a way. Yeah.
Yeah, very much so. Very much so.
But I think, the one thing I would say, Bob, that's different in their relationship from the first half is I think in the first half of Phil's career, Tiger just pounded the crap out of him, and Phil could not figure out how to play with Tiger. But in the last decade, still, once Phil started to win majors, I think Tiger always brought out the best in Phil. He's played great around Tiger. He loves being around Tiger, and it usually kicks Phil's focus up a notch. So I think it'd be great if they do that.
I couldn't agree more. And I think the fact that Tiger has kids now also kind of softened him a little bit. Listen, when we come back, we're going to take a tour around the tours. We're not going to go to California, but we are going to go down to all the tours. And there's quite a few places where they actually are playing golf as opposed to where you are right now, where it's pouring rain. Let's come back with some more Golf Talk Canada right after this.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Frechette Lawn Care, keeping your lawn healthy and green for over 45 years. Visit FrechetteLawnCare.com or call us today for a free analysis and quote. This is Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura. This segment brought to you by Cedar Brae Golf Club, private golf located in Toronto's scenic Rouge Valley. Discover why now is the right time to join at cedarbraegolf.com. Here are your hosts, Mark Zucchino and Bob Weeks.
Welcome back to Golf Talk Canada. Bob Weeks here in Toronto. Mark Zucchino at Crooked Stick, where it's still raining. And any update, Mark, any tornado sightings yet?
No tornado sightings. Rain is starting to lighten. So there is potential that we are headed towards the forecast they gave us, which means we might get a little golf in this afternoon.
We're pulling for you. We're pulling for you. Do you have any marching orders yet today, what you're going to be doing down there for PGA Tour Radio?
It could all flip upside down now. But early I was supposed to be with one of the Chase groups today. So I would be with Jordan Spieth and Rory McIlroy in their group. So that would be fun to hang out with those guys and see if somebody could get a move going. So,
The leaderboard as it sits right now, Roberto Castro, Dustin Johnson are at 14 under, tied atop the leaderboard. Paul Casey's next at 11. JB Holmes, Chris Kirk at 10. Ryan Palmer, Matt Kuchar, Kevin Na, Sergio Garcia at 7. And then a bunch of guys at 6, including Brian Harman, Daniel Berger, Bubba Watson, and Adam Scott. Anyone, if they do play there, out of that gaggle that you think could potentially jump up?
Well, Sergio's played well this week. I'd like to see him keep playing well. I'm kind of all over Paul Casey this week. I know he's kind of near or at the top of that leaderboard and is kind of just behind. But this golf course, you got to keep it in the fairway off the tee, Bob. It just sets up the angles. Without playing in the fairway, you just can't access the hole locations. On his opening round, he hit 92% of his fairways, and it's just kept it in the short grass. So I don't know. That speaks to, again, why Dustin Johnson would do well here. We all know how great an overall driver of the golf ball he is as well. So.
Exactly. The KLM Open is in Spijk, the Netherlands, and Nino Bertazio, one of your guys, he's the leader.
The Azzurri.
He's the leader right now. He's 14 under. He's got a 3-shot lead over David Horsey, Scott Hand, and Joost Luiten. Scott Hand, of course, the Aussie who played in the Olympics and was doing so well for a while. There's not a bunch of big names in here right now. Nicholas Kolsarts is down there. Tommy Fleetwood, Bernd Wiesberger, but most of the guys I think are resting up or either playing over there resting up for the Race to Dubai or playing over there in the playoffs. So they are underway. Actually, they're well underway. Bertazio, the leader, is on the 13th hole. Mackenzie Tour, PGA Tour Canada. They are in Niagara. This is the penultimate tournament this week, and then they get to the Freedom 55 Championship next week. David Pastor has the lead. He's at 9 under. Paul McConnell at 8. Mark Miller, Colin Monagle, Aaron Wise, and Canada's Corey Renfrew are next at 7 under par. A couple of the Canadians, Max Gilbert at 5 under. Blair Hamilton, interesting story. He was an amateur and turned pro this week. He's tied for 8th at 5 under par. I think this guy is actually going to have a really good future. He's just going to try and go down and qualify for the Web.com Tour after this. But he's in good shape early going through two rounds, I should say, down in the Niagara Championship. And the Canadian Tour is it's kind of a fun finish. It's getting right down to the short strokes, Mark.
Yeah, great down there too, Cherry Hills. My friend Jeremy Broom. What a wonderful facility it is. And where's Dan McCarthy on the leaderboard, Bob? Is he not in the hunt?
It's strange.
I just kind of every other event.
I looked for him at the top of the leaderboard. His name wasn't there. My jaw just about fell down here. Let me just see where Dan McCarthy is. There he is. He's tied for 8th. You know, he's just lurking.
Lurking with 2 to go, looking for win number 5. He's the Bernard Longer of the Mackenzie Tour.
That's amazing. We've also got the PGA Tour Latino America back in action down in Mexico, and they are playing the San Luis Championship in San Luis Poste, Mexico. I'd probably botch that name, but Andres Echeverria is the leader right now, a Colombian golfer. Corey Connors is the big Canadian of note. He is tied for 7th right now, and he is currently 5th on the Los Cinco, as they call it there, the 5, which will be the guys who get onto the Web.com Tour through there. He has a $2,500 lead on 6th place, so he needs to kind of keep his foot on the gas and keep going through there. And then the Web.com Tour Championship. You're going to be down at the finals in a couple weeks, aren't you?
Yeah, we are actually producing. It's the only Web.com Tour event that PGA Tour Radio produces 4 days of live radio coverage for. It's the off week of the PGA Tour, the 1 week where we shut it down. It's actually 2 weeks because it goes back-to-back with the Ryder Cup and then that. So for the 2 weeks between the end of the 2016 schedule and beginning of the 2017 schedule. So I'll be down there doing play-by-play for that. And that's going to be interesting. It's going to be cool because it's a different environment. It's not handing out, you know, $1.5 million check and a big trophy to some guy that's already a millionaire. You're handing out cards maybe for the first time, people experiencing a lifelong dream, and it's going to be fun to be around that environment.
So right now in this event, the DAP Championship, we've got Wee Kim, Scott Harrington, Stuart Appleby, Cameron Percy, and Bryson DeChambeau are all tied atop the leaderboard at 6 under. So it's an interesting, because you get a mix of guys, as you said, who are going to be first timers and living their dream to get their PGA Tour card. And some guys who are just like breathing a sigh of relief, like a Rory Sabatini, who's tied for sixth shot back, who are saying, "Oof, boy, I got another year back on the big tour. I don't have to kind of put some kind of schedule together and not write for sponsor exemptions." And that's what you have here, is a real mix of guys like that. The aforementioned Mackenzie Hughes, who we talked to earlier in the show, he's tied for 18th. Now, he already has his card, but he's trying to improve his status, and he can kind of move up the list by doing that. And there's a couple of other Canadians who are trying to get their card, notably Albin Choi, who is tied for 41st this week. He and Adam Svensson were the only ones who made the cut, along with Mackenzie Hughes. Brad Fritsch, who is also in here, and Roger Sloan missed the cut. But I think that's the most fun about this tournament, is that you got all these guys, and you got some veterans, and you got some young guys, and it's quite a mix.
Yeah, amazing. Like you mentioned Stuart Sink there. So, you know, you've got a former Open champion playing with guys that have never been to the PGA Tour before. It's complete. A complete mix of everything and anything. But you're right, at the end of the day, you're playing for an opportunity to be on the PGA Tour. And if you don't get it, you know, where do you go from there if you're a Stuart Sink at that age, you know, or Rory Sabatini? You know, do you have a desire still to play in week out on a web.com tour? I don't know the answer to that question. I think it's really important for the Mackenzie Hughes of the world, though, and the Brad Fritches of the world to keep playing well in this playoff spot, because, you know, they're playing for priority ranking.
Exactly.
Now. They've got one of those cards. They know they're going to the PGA Tour. But if they, you know, if you don't finish in that top 25 and you're in that bottom half, the 26 to 50 card range, it's tough to get starts on the PGA Tour. There's just not access to these tournaments, and especially when guys like Tiger announced they're coming out to play the Safeway.
Exactly.
You know, there goes another spot in the
field,
right? So
exactly.
You got to play well. You cannot rest on the fact that you've got a card. Now you got to keep the pedal down and get into that top 10, 15 priority point spots.
And now I just want to give you the biggest update of the day. It's the Beef Watch. Andy Johnson is playing. He's come over here to try and get his PGA Tour card. He is tied for 18th at -3. So everybody, keep your eye on Beef, because he's going to make a big move up there today. Listen, Mark, that's it for this. We're out of time here, so I want you to stay dry, put on your Wellingtons and your umbrella up, and just make sure that you don't get sucked into the tornado anywhere. But have a great weekend there. We'll see you back here this week for Golf Talk Canada Television. And next week we have a special on Golf Talk Canada Radio. Why don't you just give a quick fill-in on that?
Yeah, quickly, next week, PGA Tour is off for the week. They shut down next week, so we're going to shut down, and we're going to have a PEI tourism special that I just recorded when I was at PEI, so we'll run that next week. And then we'll be back for the Tour Championship, Ryder Cup, etc. So 1 week special next week. And, Bob, I'll see you this week for TV. Break down those captain's picks on Wednesday.
Lots and lots of golf still to come with Golf Talk Canada. Keep it tuned here for radio, for television. And hit it long and straight, folks. Enjoy your weekend. Play lots of golf.
This segment of Golf Talk Canada, presented by Acura, was brought to you by Cedar Brae Golf Club. Private golf located in Toronto's scenic Rouge Valley. Discover why now is the right time to join at cedarbraegolf.com. Thank you for listening. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Golf Talk Canada. For show archives, blogs, interviews, and TV schedule, visit us online at golftalkcanada.ca.